Hello, today we're going to talk about how God doesn't always bring you to it, but he will bring you through it. Okay, so in the last episode, Jesus, the original gangster, I started talking about a recent YouTube video I saw where a woman was talking about how her husband cheated on her all these times, and he has drug and alcohol problems, and she has 3 kids that are under 3 years old, and she was talking about, I don't mean to sound, I guess I sound messed up because I'm like, she was just going on about it. It's a bad situation, but she said her family helps her and stuff, so, but my whole thing watching it was, and I'm a very critical person, let me just preface this, because I know sometimes I can come off or sound, like, very judgmental and, like, a jerk in general in life, but I'm really, it's just, my way of interacting with the world is by analyzing it and criticizing it. That's just the way I am. Some people, they like to just lay back and enjoy it and not take it so seriously. Or they like to criticize it, but they don't really think about how to fix it, or they don't really go too deep in the analysis of what they see. But for me, like, even if I'm looking at tabloids or something like that, or reality TV, I'm kind of like trying to take it a level deeper. Like, what does this really mean? What's really going on? Why is this even important? Why is this something other people want to talk about? How did these people get famous in the first place? Like, I always kind of take it to that next level of analysis. It's just the way my brain works. I don't think it's better than somebody who just reads stuff and has fun with it and stops thinking about it, because I'm like that with certain things. But at the end of the day, I like to analyze the crap out of stuff. And I think that's part of the reason I really enjoy reading the Bible, because the more I analyze it, the more I see that everything in it applies to everything in life and everything that will ever happen in life. So yeah, my whole point is, I just went way off track. My point is, I'm very critical of what this woman is saying, but it's not in an offensive way. I mean, yeah, people may take that as offensive though, but you know, it's not an emotional thing. It's just, yeah, whatever, you get it. So my point is, I hear her saying all these things, and then at the end she says, but I know God brought me through all this pain for a reason. And you know, of course, that's the part where, and I say, I know this sounds rude, I apologize that it comes off like that, but I'm trying to kind of make a point. And of course, that's the part where everybody applauds or everybody starts crying because they can relate. The audience, I mean, that's what I mean by everybody. And that's the part that I have problems with. And I feel like that is a misrepresentation of Christianity. And I'm sure she seems like she goes to church, the way she talks about God. And just, you know, some other things about the way she is. But that's misrepresenting Christianity, in my opinion, because if you read the book, and I'm always saying read the book, read the Bible, actually read it, don't look at sermons, don't watch, you know, Joel Osteen, who is definitely not Christian, read the book, and you could see why everybody says that about him, and why people say certain things in the media are satanic and against God. Read the book and you'll see. It's not hidden. It's not hidden information. It's not hidden knowledge. But yeah, going off track again. Point is that this whole concept of if God brings you to it, he will bring you through it is not accurate. It's not an accurate representation of God and what he does. And of course, I understand there's things in the Bible where, see, I can't even think of an example. Well, you could say Christ, excuse me, I have a little stutter, getting crucified is an example of God bringing someone to a situation that's negative and then bringing them through it. But that's definitely not a good example. There's a lot more going on than just that, and that's kind of almost like an exception. A better example would be the book of Job. I personally think that is the best book to read in the Bible if you're trying to get into scriptural analysis. I don't know if that's a word, but if you're trying to get into like analyzing scripture, the book of Job is, I think that's a really good place to start because it's hard to understand the first time you read it. Book of Job is about God and the devil making a bet over Job because Job has had a blessed life. He's always done, back in the day they were still doing offerings. So he was doing all those. He was a good Christian man. I guess back then I don't think they weren't Christian. But he was doing, following God. He had a bunch of kids. He was rich. He was like the richest person where he lived. And the devil said, "Well, the only reason he worships you is because you bless him." And God was like, "No. I bet you that if I take all that away, he's still gonna worship me." So the whole book of Job is about that trial. It's such a great story. And I wish that it was one of those. Sorry for the clicking. I'm like, my throat is like seizing up. I wish that it was one of those stories where it was repeated a lot in the media. So if anyone's listening from the media, if anyone's listening, you're a producer, you're a script writer, or something like that, take the book of Job. And I know there's probably examples of it, but I mean, you know how basically every, like a bunch of romantic stories are basically Romeo and Juliet, like the two people aren't supposed to be together and they get together. They use that concept a lot in film and shit, and I feel like they need to do that with the book of Job. It's like such a great way of analyzing morality, and it would be so cool to see it with different themes. Like, instead of it being God and the devil, it could be like family versus job. It's funny, job, Job, but you get what I'm saying. Anyway, my point is that that book of Job, that basically they take away that, well, I don't know, they basically, a bunch of really horrible things start happening to Job after this bet that God makes with the devil. That's why I say read the book, because it's really important to understand the character of God. The character of God basically could have two meanings. If you don't believe in God, you think he's a character. So, and I'm fine with that. I hope that someone's listening who believes that. But also the character as an entity. I was gonna say like as a spiritual entity. Like, what is his personality? And it's not that, I just hate that people just have it in their mind that God is similar to just some redneck, gun-toting conservative American. And there's nothing wrong with those people, with people who are conservative gun-toting Christians. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. That's their heritage. That's who they are. But that's not God. Just because you see people a certain way that are Christian doesn't mean that God has the same character as them. And so that's my kind of issue with that. I mean, I think you can kind of see a theme. It's kind of like an issue I have with Christianity is that people misrepresent it because they don't really understand what it actually says in the Bible. So that's a big problem. So sorry, I'm checking something really quick right now. I just have an issue with people who say God is bringing you to these these situations where everything is messed up. Because it's not, I don't believe that, and I don't believe there's evidence of that in the Bible. And the reason why I'm bringing up the book of Job is because, that is a situation where God is testing Job in a way, but the devil is the one that's doing the acts to Job. It's not, it's not God doing it. It's not, it's never, because a very important concept to get, especially if you're new to Christianity, even if you want to argue against it, and you want your argument to be extremely effective. Obviously I don't promote that, but if you do, you have to really get that the devil, according to the Bible, the devil owns the earth. The devil is in charge of all the stuff that goes on, all the shitty stuff, all the things people get pleasure out of that are temporary. It's all not, I mean, I want to say it's all demonic, but you know, not being happy is not demonic. But that's where that whole idea of Christians not being fun kind of comes from, because the devil is kind of in charge of all of these earthly things that are negative and of the flesh and sinful. It's all the things that have to do with the earth are manipulated by the devil and familiar spirits and demonic entities. I know it sounds crazy, but when you start thinking of it in those terms, I swear it starts making more and more sense. And if you don't know a little, I don't know if I ever recorded my testimonial. I don't really like going back through these episodes. I kind of like to just let them come out. But I was very into New Age, and I got to a point where I was studying like Gnosticism and all of the like Masonic symbols and something called the Akashic Records. I just, and at that point when I started to realize that a lot of that stuff I was studying was real, that was the same time that I switched over, switched sides, because if that's real. And then that was also the time when I started to actually read the Bible. I was like, oh, it's all real. So I've said this before, I'm very against the law of attraction because it's promoting a bunch of demonic things. And I have other episodes on that, so I won't talk about it too much. But at the end, but it does work, though. Just like when you hear about these Illuminati people doing all these weird rituals, there is a power that they're receiving from those. It's not made up. Why do you think that all of these elite people are associated with these weird magic things? It's not made up. None of it's made up, though. Like, and I think what's sad is nowadays it's more accepted to be a witch or believe in witchcraft or do tarot cards than to be a Christian or be someone who studies the Bible and decides to live by it. And they're both real. It's just a matter of which team you decide to be on. And that's what life is. That's what your whole journey throughout life is going to be, you picking one side or the other. And picking no side is picking the other side. the other side from where I want to be. So it's very, I keep saying it's important, but it is important. It's important for people to understand that God is not the one putting you in the shit situation. And he doesn't always put you in the good situation necessarily either. There's a lot of factors that cause events to occur in your life. Like, for example, if you really want to get into a good college, if you don't apply, God is not gonna like find out a way to get you an acceptance letter by accident because you prayed hard and you're not a sinner. He's not gonna find a way to get you into the college if you don't apply. And it's your dream school, or and maybe let's say you do apply and you're praying and stuff, but you have shit grades. Like, come on, give yourself a little credit. And that's what I don't like about that statement. If God brings you to it, he'll take you through it. Like with this video that this podcast is about, basically, this woman is dealing with a terrible, terrible, terrible man, and she has 3 kids with him that are like basically were conceived like back to back to back. Like they're like 3 and 2 and 1, I think, literally 3 and 2 and 1 or something like that. And during this time he was cheating on her, having other relationships, like full-on relationships with other girls, as if he's single, like as if she doesn't exist. And at the end of explaining that, her situation, she's saying, if God brings you to it, he'll take you through it. You put yourself in those situations. You, like, I understand that you can't really pick who you love, like, in the sense of, like, sometimes you like people who are shitty. I totally understand that, trust me. But you can't say that God forced you to love someone or to be someone or be with someone or to be in a situation. That's not right as far as what the Bible says, and it's just not fair to yourself to try to say that you need to, that it's happening for a reason. Like, she kept saying it's happening for a reason, and I felt so bad. And then I thought, see, this is what a lot of atheists, well, I won't say a lot, but I know I've heard this argument from atheists that this is one of the reasons they don't like religion, because people say stuff like that and they just stay in their shit situations. I apologize for cursing, but it's kind of for emphasis, because if you're somebody who says that, please stop saying that. Please. And of course, there's certain things that are really beyond your control where I do think God is trying to kind of like get you to start over, you know, with really dramatic events. Like sometimes I think when people lose everything, it can be a blessing. Or maybe you have a kid and it's not exactly what you planned. It can be a blessing. And also, sometimes when you get lost, it can be a blessing. Like, you might get lost and you pass somewhere and you walk in and you apply for a job and it leads to all these things. I think things like that are, like, kind of the weird coincidences are God pushing us in the right direction. But he's not making you stay with your shit boyfriend. Stop saying that. Like, you could say whatever doesn't kill me makes me stronger, yeah, but God will always bring you through anything, but he didn't put you in that situation. Don't put that on God, and don't make other people make it seem like that's what God does. It's not like that. When he forces his hand, you know, or forces your hand to do something, you know it. Like, sometimes like, for example, recently, national story, I talked about this little, the kid in the Bronx got stabbed by all these gang members, and it was, like, he was set up by one of their nieces, and he was very innocent, he was a cop and stuff, and so for that, I do think that God had that kid put there, born there in that neighborhood, and put in that situation for a bigger reason, because his life was cut short. And I think because his life was cut short, he saved so many people from being killed by those people who killed him. Just because they killed him, if they had killed anybody else, it would have just been another stabbing in the Bronx, probably. But because it was him, because of who he was, because of the way it happened, that's what made it such a big deal, to the point where all of the people got caught, and even like their head person above them got caught. that they've been looking for, the cops have been trying to get for years, and the only reason they were able to get all those people off the street was because of the one kid getting attacked in that way. So I think I think with things like that, it is like, that is God doing things like that, that are so to us as humans are so, those things are terrible, but to God in a larger perspective, in his way of thinking, it makes sense, and it sends a message to people that he wants people to understand. So I do think in that sense, God brings you into a bad situation, but he is doing it for a reason. But when it comes to what she was talking about with, you know, a really bad relationship with somebody cheating that many times, and then you just keep having kids with them, not only forgiving them, but having kids with them during that, it just seems very odd to me. And there are a lot of situations, other situations where people say, you know, God brought me through it and he'll get to it and he'll get me through it. Like when people die, I mean, everyone you know is gonna die eventually. And so it's kind of weird to say if God, like, God brought me to this situation. I mean, it's just a situation of life. It's not, I mean, and I guess literally you could say God put you in the situation of life, but so in that sense, you can get through it. But like I said, anything you can get through God. But I just really don't like people using that in those ways. It's just, well, like people who have like, who get injured or even have like mental disorders and eating disorders, they say if God brings me to it, he'll get me through it. And God brought you through it, but I just don't think it's accurate to say that God brought you to it. I do, like, I don't feel like, I mean, I think we're all put in situations, but God doesn't have control over every little situation. He can see the bigger pictures and the bigger ramifications of the situations that he puts us in, but he's not placing us in all of them. We still have free will. If we didn't have free will, we would still be in the Garden of Eden. So, like I said, is this the right way to use this word? I don't know, but implore? Let me look it up. I always use words wrong. That's why I hate using fucking, sorry for cursing, but I hate using big words because I always use them wrong. Is implore a word? Oh, wait. Yeah, implore. To call or pray for earnestly, entreat, to call upon in supplication. So kind of like beg. Implore. So I implore you to please stop saying that if you say it. Just say God will bring me through it. Don't, let's just cut off the brings you to it. Because that is, I think, that is not something that is happening all the time. Just like people who are always saying they hear, you know, they constantly hear the voice of God. It's just big chance that you're not. I think when you need to hear, you will hear. Or like angels or just little things like that. When you need to hear them, you will hear them. It's not gonna be like a constant everyday thing. And I wanted to keep these short, but I do want to talk a little bit about familiar spirits. I feel like this weird thing, like I need to talk about it. If you watch a lot of, well, some of the things on TV about Christianity, a lot of times they focus on like really crazy stories and miracle stories and stuff like that. And one thing I watch sometimes is Sid Roth's It's Supernatural, which I'm sure that's controversial because he's Jewish and he said a lot of it is focused on healing, like the whole miracle healing thing. and saying that we all have the power to do it. No, not true. There's a lot of sketchy stuff on that show, but a lot of the focus is on, like, people hearing the voice of God or hearing angels and stuff like that. And you have to be careful about something that you are hearing that you think is an angel, because I'll start with the spiritual side and then I'll talk about the actual physical brain side. On the spiritual side, there's something called familiar spirits, and when I learned about this is when I realized, like, everything started to click about all the occult stuff that I was familiar with, like tarot cards and like spiritual experiences I've had in my life. It all started to make sense. So familiar spirits are basically demons. They're things that don't ever go into a body, but they're always around. They've always been around. So they can impersonate people that they've been around. So if they've been around a little girl, they can look like a little girl. If they, like, they know information about you because they are always around, and they have this kind of universal knowledge. Not like God, but not definitely not like human. And so when you do tarot cards, the way the things come up, that is manipulated by that familiar spirit. And I used to think it was always just, at the end of my studies of the New Age, I thought it was accessing the Akashic Records, which is a space where you can tap into everything that's ever happened and everything that will happen. And so by randomly drawing these cards, you are accessing that. That's what I thought. So I didn't think it was bad, because I was like, Akashic Records, that's kind of not, it's just like a void, almost like a void that I'm just accessing with my own energy. And I'm not thinking that there's anything as such as any familiar spirits or that's bad or anything like that. So but what I realize now is that is not what's happening. It's the familiar spirits manipulating it. And this is one example that I have. And of course, I know somebody's listening and they're like, yeah, fucking right, whatever. But I was watching a tarot card. I used to watch tarot card readings a lot. And they, on YouTube, when they do it, they'll do a reading for a sign. So like Libra. And they'll say, oh, this is Libra's reading for October. And they'll do a sign, a reading, a tarot card reading. So I did my own cards. And then I watched the tarot card video. And the woman pulled up the exact same cards as me. So if you're not familiar, the tarot cards are, there's a lot of cards. It's got to be more than 52, I think. I'm not sure exactly how many. I had a kind of like informal way of doing it, but I pulled up the exact same cards. There's no way. The way that I do it is so random. The way I did it, I don't do it anymore. It was so random. It was definitely not close to like the way you're supposed to do it, but yeah, so I pulled the same cards as her. That, I think that was the point when I started to feel weird about it. And then soon after that, everything kind of snowballed into me throwing away all of the occult things out of my house. I think every single thing is gone. Except maybe like one book, because it belonged to a family member. But I think everything's gone. Because that shit is deceiving. And I will curse, because I really want to emphasize, it's deceiving. It's making you think that. And it's even in the Bible where Paul, the fortune teller, tells Paul his fortune, and it's accurate, but he still doesn't want to hear it. He still condemns her for it. So that's what I'm saying. The stuff is real. The demonic stuff is real. The witchcraft stuff is real. It's real. It's the demon worshiping is real. And I always cite or like bring up the John Ramirez testimony. If you don't think it's real, watch that testimony. And you might still think, oh, it's not. But just the way he talks about it, you could tell that there's something that he's saying that's real. and he doesn't seem like the type of guy that would just be putting a lot of energy into something that wasn't real. Like, he was a warlock. It's a real thing. And there's reasons that certain areas in this country are worse than others as far as the amount of crime. There's people practicing witchcraft in those areas, cursing those areas, getting energy out of all that negative shit that happens. So, that's why I really don't like when people say that God brings you to it and he'll bring you through it. And in the last episode I talk about the difference between a vessel and a well. That's something I read out of Bible.com plan. A plan on Bible.com. And so God is that source you can always pull from, and that's why he will always bring you through anything. But he's not bringing you to everything. You're going there. You're taking your 2 feet and you're walking somewhere. And if you don't hear a voice or you don't get on the wrong bus by mistake and end up somewhere else, it's not God bringing you to it. It's just not. And, you know, in situations like the one I'm kind of responding to with a bad relation, a bad marriage, and you're just staying in it, that's not God telling you to do that. And I don't think it's fair to God to say that that's what's going on. It's almost like a cop-out to say that. So, I just want people to really understand that we're in, there's another podcast I made talking about this, so I don't want to, I say that because I don't want to repeat myself. We're behind, and I want you guys to listen to all of them, but we're behind enemy lines. We're behind enemy lines. That's what you should be saying. You shouldn't be saying God brings me to it, and don't say that anymore, please. Please say we are behind enemy lines. As combative and as maybe scary as that sounds, that is the reality. We're in the devil's playground. Earth is the devil's playground. So, but God always has your back. He always has your back, but we're in the devil's playground. There's crazy, like, basically the only way to be successful is the more sinful you are, the more successful you are, the more power you get, the more money you get. Especially if you're a woman, it's just like Eve with the apple. Women are tempted a lot more to sin because of the fact that we have this power that comes with being a woman, where we can influence men. Men can't do that with women. It doesn't work like that. It's never like that. Like, as much as maybe some individual women might say, for example, about a celebrity, they might say, oh, I would never sleep with him, he's gross, he's ugly. There's 1,000 women, you know, for every one woman that says that the celebrity's ugly and they wouldn't sleep with him, there's 1,000 women that don't care and just want to sleep with him because he's famous. And so they can get a little bit of fame from that. So it's like, for women, it's much easier to fall into that sinfulness. And the interesting thing is, but the men, after a while, most of them, even the famous ones, they will get sick of it after a while because all the women will start to melt into one. And they're eventually going to need someone who can actually have a conversation. But when it comes to women, the women will, like, most of those kind of women that are more manipulative or, like, clout chasing, it'll never be enough for them. Like, they'll just keep going to the next guy up, like, as far as they can go until they get to the pinnacle of the most rich and, you know, best looking, most successful guy that they can personally get based on the way they look, and then they'll just stay there. So it's a lot harder for women to be followers of God, honestly. It's just kind of the way the world is set up. Just the way men react to women, really. That's just what it is. Don't get me started on the feminist stuff, I'll say something, because I just don't really have a platform to say this anywhere else. the interactions between men and women have been a situation where men dominate women for a long time, because there's something naturally dominant about men, and there's something naturally submissive about women, and there's something that works when the man is dominant and the woman is submissive to that dominance. That has worked the majority of time throughout history. That's just what has worked. But obviously over time, women have changed and men have changed. Our expectations and our needs have changed throughout time based on the way our society has changed. That's just the truth. But for some people still like the traditional way of having a man being, you know, being dominant and a woman being submissive, and that works for them. And I think as much as, even in really progressive places like New York, as much as we want to say men and women are equal, I can tell you, I've met a lot of successful women in New York and a lot of successful men, and they're nothing alike. And I mentioned this a little, I think, in the last episode, too. I repeat myself a lot, so I apologize. But successful men and successful women are usually extremely different. Oh, no, I was talking about gangsters in the last one, but I'm talking about success. The women are usually very approachable. They're intimidating because they're very sure of themselves, but they're still kind of this weird, like almost like forced appearance of being vulnerable. And then with men, it's like the opposite. They're scary. They're like just, they can just be as intimidating as they want and still be successful. But with women, they can't be like that. They have to always remain a little bit soft. And the reason I think that's true is because every time someone sees a woman, subconsciously they're seeing their mother. And no one likes their mother not being proud of them. Everybody wants their mom to be smiling at them. And that's why you have, you know, the old... Now it's seen as very sexist if a man says, "Come on, sweetie, smile." But that's the reason why men don't like when women don't smile. No one likes women who don't smile. I can tell you because I don't smile a lot. And a lot of people don't like me without me doing anything. With women, it's like you have to be smiley. Even if you're a bitch, you have to smile through everything you're saying. And you have to have a general appearance of, you know, as far as... just even makeup and hair, you have to look very approachable and warm and soft and stuff like that, because that's how people think of their mother. Well, not everyone, but you know, something that's attractive and like has a loving kind of vibe to it. And anytime you don't do that, and you kind of start to seem a little too aggressive or too short as a woman, and short, I mean, like, you know, like short-tempered, mean. Like, men are really turned off by women, too. So, there's certain things that exist that are set up already that we can't just undo with a couple protests. It's just not going to happen. And as much as we see all this Me Too stuff, there's still a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes where with girls sleeping with producers for parts and girls sleeping with rappers to get a verse on their song and stuff. It still happens, like, for sure. So... that's my take on feminism and the fight against, you know, the patriarchy and all that stuff. I get it, times change, but it's not really as much as people are trying to force. They're trying to, like, force it to change faster, some people. And it's just not possible to do that. There's too many places in the world where... people are okay with the way things are set up as far as men and women. And America is kind of the only place where people are really complaining about it at a high level. You know, in other countries, the women either have like no rights and they can't even say anything about it, which is terrible, but it's just true. And in America, it's like they're trying to force a certain image onto women. I don't know. It doesn't manifest in real life, is what I'm trying to say. So I might look on Twitter or look on the news and see a story about how women are, I don't know, you know what they try to, they just, it seems like they're always pushing something about how great women are, which, you know, yeah, they are, we're pretty cool. But then when you go back to real life, it's like, it's still the same. Still getting called, like, sweetie and stuff. And, like, it's still all about how you look when you're a woman. You have to look a certain way. You can't just go to work, like, just sloppy. You have, I mean, no one can. But for women, your appearance is still way more important than a man's appearance. Because, like I said before with the mother thing, it's like, even other women won't like you. It's so, like, with men, if there's an ugly guy, other guys will still be friends with him. Or if there's, like, a, you know, a weird guy, other guys will be friends with him. But when there's a weird girl or an unattractive girl, it's like, even the girls won't be friends with her. Like, I've seen guys who are unattractive, and then, like, the jock or the most popular guy in school will still be friends with them. But with girls, it's not the same. It's like they all have to look the same in order to be in the same social circle. That's something that I feel is exclusive, more exclusive to women. But I just got way off track. My point is, please stop saying that God brought you to your crap situation when you walked your 2 feet into the crap, knees deep or neck deep into it. Stop saying that he's bringing you into that. It's just, sometimes it's true, but it's not in every, and by sometimes I mean when it's something that, it's, the times when God's bringing you through it is like when, like, you take out $100 bill and it blows away in the wind, and then because you lost $100 bill, later on you ran into your best friend from kindergarten. Like, that's something where God might have pushed you towards that direction by making you lose something that you, like, wanted to have. But not when you're in a bad marriage. Like, it's all that, everything happens for a reason, crap needs to be brought to an end, I think. Because it's just taken the wrong way. And it makes people stay in bad situations because they think it's, like, meant to be or something like that. Like, I've dealt with something like that where when I used to believe in soulmates and stuff. And this was back when I was more into the occult things. And I thought there were so many signs that I was supposed to be with this person. And then I realized it was all, like, fake. And now when I look back on it, I'm like, oh, that was so stupid. I wasted a bunch of time just because I kept, and also because of the people I had in my life telling me, like, this person's your soulmate, look at all this stuff that happens, like, other people kind of, like, feeding my delusions, basically. So that's why that statement is dangerous, I'm telling you, because that's something that people used to say, oh, everything happens for a reason, it's because you're meant to be together. No, we not. We are not, and we were not. And so what now? We didn't end up together, what now? Like, does that mean I broke the matrix because I'm not with that person? Did something else happen? Was there a butterfly effect that made Donald Trump president when I broke up with that person? It's like, at what point is it just, I made a mistake and I was delusional and I was young. Like, what? That's why I don't like when people say that. Because people in the Bible, the characters of the Bible, the character of the people in the Bible, and I like using that word because it helps people who aren't religious remember or to see that there's value in the Bible even if you don't believe in it as real. But everyone, majority of people in the Bible, like, have a lot of, they hold themselves accountable for their actions. They're not just saying, there's a big difference between the things that happen to them that are God doing things and things that they're doing, and they kind of acknowledge it when you think about it. It's very easy. Well, they might not acknowledge it necessarily, but it's really easy to see what's what when you're reading through it. So I just hope that you, whoever you are listening, read through your own life in that same way and just don't don't think that everything is like necessarily for a bigger purpose. Like every little thing, or like try not to believe in soulmates and stuff like that. Like you have a lot of freedom as a person, and you shouldn't embrace that. You shouldn't try to force yourself into something, or try to say that you have to stay in a situation because like God is telling you and stuff like that. That's, God wants us to not be sinful, not be of the flesh. That's what he wants. That means, you know, don't make your whole life about fornication and being an object of lust. Don't make your life about lust. Don't make your life about being envious of physical things people have that are going to fade away. Don't make your life about being greedy about the things you do have, that you have been blessed with, and that you've worked hard for. Don't, you know, idolize things, period. Don't idolize people. These are the things that God wants us to do. So as long as you're doing those things, you're good. You don't have to stay in a bad situation because you feel like God wants to teach you a lesson. It doesn't work like that. He can teach you the lesson without that. You don't have to stay in that. So I just feel really bad. I honestly feel bad for the girl. I know it started off as like, you know, kind of critical, but I feel bad because it's like she really believes that she has to stay in the situation because of God, and that's not accurate. That's why, people, I want you, if you're listening, read the Bible. I'm not going to say don't go to church, because fellowship is very important, and this is my way of basically, my fellowship is this podcast, because I can't really find a good place, and Bible.com too. That's my way. And sometimes Sid Roth. And sometimes, you know, if I find a good person on YouTube, I feel a sense of fellowship. So it's a cyber fellowship. It's a very important part of Christianity. And so I'm glad that, you know, you listeners are like partaking in that with me in this way, where it's like, I don't really know what anyone thinks about what I'm saying, but I'm just trying to be as helpful as possible and trying to use as much actual context from the actual Bible as possible. And it's more of a discussion. It's not really a preaching thing. Like, I feel like preachers and pastors and whatever else, other names, I just feel like it's too... there's too much of an agenda, and it shouldn't be like that. It should kind of just be like, oh, well, I just saw this video, and this is how it relates to the Bible, kind of thing. Very informal. But yeah, I'm about to run out of time, so, well, I'm not literally going to, but I just don't want this to be this long. So I hope that what I said was helpful. Main thing I wanted to get across is that you have more control of your life than you think as a Christian. You have to understand we're in the devil's playground. And in order to get closer to God, you have to stay away from the flesh, the envy, the objects of this world are me. And I always say, I'm going to end it on this one. If you have a money problem, if your only problem is a money problem, you have no problems. Can I get an amen?